Hey guys, who are you?
Hi, I'm Blair Shaw. I'm Program Manager in Microsoft Worldwide Services Consulting Group.
And I'm Hatay Chuna. I'm Solutions Architect in MCS UK.
And what are we going to talk about today?
Today we're going to talk about service-oriented modeling, which is a tool that Hatay has developed for MCS consultant use to bridge the gap between business capabilities and services.
I've heard that term before. Where'd that come from?
Well, it's the gap between the subway that you don't want to fall into when you're riding the tubes, the tube in the UK.
Exactly, but also it represents the gap between the business architecture and the IT architecture.
Okay, and what is that gap? I mean, I kind of get it, but for my audience, who I don't do a very good job of explaining to them, maybe you as a subject matter expert, you can explain this.
So service-oriented modeling is an integrated set of capabilities and frameworks and tools that will enable you to define solutions to particular business problems or customer scenarios. So it's a design time tool and a framework and defines methods and practices around it that will take you from all the way from business capabilities to service-oriented solution.
Okay, and that's going to set off a whole bunch of triggers for people who do a lot of like business requirements. Is this more business requirements, like doing Excel requirements gathering in TFS? Does that have anything to do with this, or is this a separate notion?
This is a separate notion. There's an overlap, of course, because ultimately the services that you want to build need to be captured in requirements and in TFS to track progress towards completion. But this is a tool that a subject matter expert and a business subject matter expert could use to model the business capabilities that they want to have implemented in services in a terminology that business people will relate to from a business subject matter expert.
Okay. And so, Hatay, what drove you to start working on this? Was this like a team effort? Did you come up with this? Where did this thing come from?
I mean, I came up with the ideas and I presented to Blair and Michael, and they said, you know, this is great, and we thought that that would be a great tool for us, a weapon for MCS to go and deliver service-oriented solutions for our customers.
Okay.
Now, it comes, we have another tool that MCS has used for a long time called MSBA, Microsoft Business Analysis, and it's a way to really go into an organization along with one of our ITAP advisors, our architect-level MCS consultant that's been trained in this methodology to capture business capabilities. This particular tool takes the capabilities which may be captured from that particular step and help you bridge into the SOA services that need to be implemented as a result of satisfying the capabilities.
Very cool. Well, let's take a look real quick.
Okay. So that is the primary design tool. It's built on Visual Studio 2008 and the DSL tools. It has no dependencies to any other. It's built on using SDK. On the left, we have the component panel. We have different components for modeling capabilities, business processes, and business services. In the middle, we have the design surface where we can have capability models, right, we can have the process models, and the service models.
Oh, wow. Hold on. So let's go over that part again. Well, first, the acronym alert. You use the domain-specific language, the DSL tools, from the Visual Studio 2008 SDK, right?
Exactly.
Right. And on Channel 9, there's a lot of demos for using DSL and creating domain-specific languages.
Right.
And this is a very specific domain-specific language around business capability modeling onto services.
What is the domain here? Why do you need something specific? What is the driver behind what are we looking at?
I mean, domain-specific languages, they are great enabler for consistency and repeatability. Assume that this service-oriented modeling is a capability. So there needs to be some inputs, and there needs to be some outputs. Okay? So how you can achieve consistency in delivering an output that is predictable and consistent with other outputs. So you need to make sure that the inputs are consistent. So what we are trying to do here is make sure the inputs are defined in terms of capabilities so that we can define the attributes and define the relationships between them as business processes, then define the service-oriented solution by exposing these business capabilities, entities, and processes as business services.
And this would be very different then from something like the web service software factory from BMP, which its domain is simply modeling services and generating the code for it. Where here, the domain, what is the domain here?
The domain is business architecture and service orientation.
Okay.
So what we do, we get the capability architecture as an input, we develop and deliver a service-oriented solution. And with that solution, when we define and model the solution, we can actually transform those models into technology artifacts. And funny you said, you mentioned software factory modeling edition. We can actually generate partially completed models using the modeling edition.
So
we become the step zero of moving to technology.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the diagram. That over here on the left, we see the... can you use that zoom? Oh, there you go. So over on the left, we see the entities, the actor, directory, accept, order. What are we looking at here?
Okay. So in this particular capability model, we are using a Fabricum order management domain. We're trying to automate the capabilities and the processes around it. So the organization receives and accepts an order. It is performed by the sales representatives at the moment. They provide an order. We provide an order received. There are budgets associated with that capability, and there are service level expectations. And then we define how it interacts with other capabilities. So we receive an accept order. We might actually reject it because we enforce some policies around it. For example, we reject orders over $80,000. So we define what's going to happen. We define all the capabilities, all the things that organizations do in that domain, in that public space.
So you aren't even modeling anything about services right now. You're just looking at what is my organizational capability to deliver this process.
Correct. Very much from a business perspective.
Is there anything significant about the color here?
Yes. It actually provides live heat maps. And in here, let's have a look. This capability is red and the border is gray. So if you go back to the properties of this capability, on here we see that there are heat map properties, business value, governance and compliance, interconnectedness, maturity of this capability and performance. So
wow, look at that. So you have almost like KPIs for where you think your capabilities are to deliver your business process.
Exactly. So if I go and change that score 1, for example, score 5, you will see that it goes green.
Oh, look at that.
The filling color represents the business value. I can also change the outline color by saying that the performance, let's say, is appalling. So that means that capability is high business value, but it's not performing well. So we need to focus. We need to keep our attention on this capability. And you can do it with all capabilities, so it provides you this visibility.
That's incredible. So being like an enterprise architect, trying to identify what are the key needs in the organization, I get like a one-stop shop real quick just to see where we think our capabilities are and where we need to go.
Exactly.
Actually gives a good business justification for investment in IT.
Correct. And it ties the business needs into the technology investment. So the business person with a small amount of training and using this tool, the consultant, can say, yes, this is the area we need to work on. And then the technologist can then go and say, okay, we need to do improvements in our service-oriented architecture around this particular capability, and then start generating some code.
And the good thing about the capabilities is we are treating them as black boxes. We don't care what is inside in terms of people, processes, IT. We look at how we interact with this capability, what are the inputs and outputs, who performs this capability, and how it interacts with other capabilities. So at any one time, an organization may decide, you know what, this is a utility capability, for example, paying your employees, and you may decide that, you know what, I want someone else to provide this capability for me. So you can outsource it. And this is the true agility enabled by service orientation. This is where we want to go to.
So paying employees obviously being a very high value thing that you need to do, but not necessarily something that is in your core capability set, not something that...
Exactly. It doesn't differentiate us from any other company in the same market. Wow. So what we do, we outsource it. But we want to keep the capabilities and perform the capabilities that makes us who we are.
Oh, no, you just justified outsourcing with your model. Okay, so let's take a look at the process diagram.
You can right-click, and you can say, add a process model, and I already did it. So in here, we see a process model will show how the how these capabilities will work in a harmony to meet a certain logic, to implement a certain logic. In our case, it is the order process, order management. You can define the key milestones and define how the capabilities will interact with each other. You drag and dropping these process model components here.
And what we're looking at, we're not looking at something like Windows Workflow or BizTalk where we're stitching actual like activities together. This is still looking at it from the high-level business requirements view, right?
Very exactly. High-level. Technology independent at this point.
Very technology independent. Good point.
Exactly.
So we look here and we see like, can you do the zoom in? Yeah, there you go. So we perform enforce order policy and then we decide accepted or rejected. And then from there, we're able to go and invoke, enter order into production, reject order. Nothing about technology, nothing about services or anything here, right?
No, not at all. As you recognize, we have invoke and perform. So that means perform, I am going to apply this counting here, part of the process. If it is invoke, I'm going to enter this order for into production using production service.
Okay, well, no, there was a third diagram over to the right in the third swim lane. What is that guy?
Absolutely. The other one is the service model. Service model is the modeling environment where we decide, okay, we defined our capabilities, we defined our processes, how we can expose those to internal consumers or external customers or partners or suppliers. So how we can make sure people can access and invoke these capabilities and processes because they are not islands, they are defined, they are designed to be reused by other business services, other business capabilities or business processes. So we define the services, the business services that need to exist to actually provide these capabilities and processes.
Oh, I'm so interested in this little plus sign, the consumed capabilities. Does that do what I think it does?
Yes.
You hit escape. There you go.
Yep. Let's go here.
That is so cool.
So that service uses that service. And this is a representation.
Right.
Is
in the order in this case, and is the representation of the entity which is used in the performance of this capability.
Exactly, and returns an order received. If something goes wrong, it will provide an exception in terms of an incorrect order. And at the moment, as I said, we are talking about business entities, the idea, the business documents. No XML, you're not talking about C# classes at this point. As I said, this is all technology agnostic. We are solving a problem here, and this is the design service that we are using.
From the business perspective.
Exactly. And the really cool thing is I'm looking at this thinking at least the visual design aspects, using the domain-specific language tools, for the most part, that had to help out a lot because what I'm looking at is like a named domain class with port shapes and connectors.
Correct.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The examples are brilliant. The idea, the flexibility, the power it gives us, there is no match in the industry.
So you didn't have to focus on any of the drawing aspects or any of that. You're able to just use DSL tools to get that part. Focus on the hard part was...
domain model, how capability become a process, or how it participates in a process, and how we expose those.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, you mentioned some transforms, too. You can transform the model into other useful formats.
Oh, absolutely. So, as Bill said, this is...
Everyone's asking for XMI these days.
Yes. This is all technology agnostic, and the thing that differentiates SOM from other technology-oriented models is this is technology agnostic, but we can create software artifacts, partially complete models called documentation configuration files. Yeah.
So you've got a really interesting example of documentation. So we've done a visual representation of our business process, the capabilities and entities used in fulfillment, and like a text formatted output if you wanted to check this into a SharePoint site.
Mm-hmm. So as you could see, we were dealing with order management.som file, which is a service-oriented model that we're using, and several other files there, which are helping us to auto-generate certain artifacts, one of them being the documentation. So if I open the documentation, it it is actually an HTML document with interactive points in there, so I can browse through my models that are visual representations.
Oh, look at that. You even use the capability where you can grab the model and then generate the image, and you stick that in there.
Absolutely. Right. It creates indexes and all the information captured here
look at that.
To be printed out.
So that's a
yeah, before, try to do this with a rational, right?
Absolutely.
Transformations.
Exactly. And this is an example of documentation, but there are other artifacts we create as well. Let's have a look.
I'd like to see some C-sharp code.
Absolutely. So while we're developing the service model, because we, the organization, the customer, chose to represent those services as WCF services, automatically creates the contracts behind scenes. So you could say service contracts for order management service, and you will remember we saw
two services. Well, you use a small font, man. Look at that.
Zoom in.
There you go.
There you go. So the service
contract. Oh, there we go. Familiar service contract using the interface operation. And all this was genned from the capability and service model that we just saw?
Absolutely.
Correct. Via a T4 template that was designed to, you know, generate WCF interfaces and partial classes.
Exactly. And T4, acronym alert again, being the text transformation
template
toolkit.
Toolkit.
Rolls off the tongue.
It is part of the SDK. It's a powerful tool.
Did you know T4 actually comes with every version of Visual Studio 2008 standard and up?
Exactly.
So you don't even have to use DSL tools or anything for it.
No, oh,
I just learned that yesterday. Clarius Consulting even has a cool T4 editor. Very cool.
So
okay.
You can do the same thing with the entities as well. So it automatically generates the entities. As I said,
entity representation here probably being data contracts, right?
Yeah, but you can extend it using the class diagram, which is already part of the Visual Studio environment. That's why we didn't want to create an entity model.
Integrated innovation.
Exactly.
So if we want to extend the high-level entities, which are identified through the business analysis, you can go use the built-in tools in Visual Studio to go and
extend the information. Absolutely.
So we just went from high-level business requirements and capabilities in the enterprise, was able to map that to two of the processes that are going to support those capabilities, map that to the services that are going to implement those processes. Now we're down to the actual technology dependent type model where we gender out the code. Now we're using Visual Studio capabilities to be able to edit the code. So we went from very technology independent to a very platform specific type technology.
Let me show you something. Two cool things. So one of them is, an organization may decide that, you know what, this process, we want to implement this process using Workflow Foundation. So behind scenes, while we're creating these business processes, we go to the order management workflow activities. Let's see the code here, and okay, let's show me the code. There you go. So it creates activities for me to use Workflow Foundation.
Oh, wow, look at that.
With hooks in it. For example, every activity has an execute capability context. So if
You got to go back to that. Return this dot execute capability.
Exactly.
So you,
for example, enforcing order policy activity, so that those activities can be used in the workflow designer. Let's have a look at the workflow designer.
So in I just got to go back. The execute capability method. So that's where the guy you're figuring out what is the activity execution status, and that's where you're figuring out if
logic is exactly.
Wow, that is so cool. So this is the first time that I've actually seen anybody actually marry the DSL toolkit with Windows Workflow Foundation.
Now you will love this. So in the custom activities code here. So I implement the execute capability for each activity, for example.
Now, is this code generated as part of the template transformation, or is
Absolutely.
So the transformation template gen, Windows Workflow Foundation. So now you went from requirements to the generic process, to old technology independent, and then took that to the service implementation, and now you're down in workflow activities. This means you could use like workflow services and .NET 3.5. That is so cool.
You know, or things like BizTalk orchestrations, if you wanted to gen some BizTalk code fragments.
Wow, that is... All right, so I heard that there was something about InfoPath with this. How did...
I'll demonstrate to you just after this.
Okay.
Have a look. Those activities become Fabricium components. So they are reusable activities, and now I use them in the workflow. So it should look like awfully a lot similar with the process I already designed using the SOM material. So,
In reality, you still have yet to write a line of code because you modeled capabilities, the process, the services, and then gen it from the templates, and now you use those activities and you drag and drop into the workflow.
So could we open up perhaps a TTA template
Absolutely.
File?
Absolutely.
That kind of is the glue that ties the visual representation in the domain-specific model into the code artifacts that are generated.
And have a look. I actually ran the workflow because I implemented sample logic. Now you can see, so we can auto-generate
the
unit tests if you wanted to.
Leah, before we go to the InfoPath forms, do we want to show the WebShift service
sure.
factory modeling edition transformation?
And I think it would also be interesting to look at just pop open a template transformation file for like where we generate the HTML or generate workflow, whichever one you want to choose there.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's go back to our model for a second here. So as you could see on the right hand side, we have the hierarchical view of the capability models, the process models, and the services. So they are accessible on the right-hand side. So what I can do is, at any one time, as long as I have defined transformers behind this, and we have a great API to develop those, I can go and right-click, for example, let's go back to this service model. You'll see there's a transform option there. So I'm going to select the transform option, and it will pop me up. There's a dialog. It says, Software Factory Transformer version 1.1. So if I select it, if I click on it, it will ask me a folder to save the modeling edition. So what I'm going to do, very quickly, create a new folder here. Let's keep it
channel 9. There we go.
Exactly. So let's say Software Factory, and I save it. Now, as you could see, now it created a modeling Software Factory modeling edition solution for me. So I'm going to click on yes.
So oh, no
magic,
way.
The magic will happen. And
it really will. JIT compile. Blame it on JIT compile.
Well, it's doing its thing now. And do we pop up another instance of Visual Studio, or do we have to open that manually?
No, we pop it up.
All right, so we launch another instance of Visual Studio with the Web Services Software Factory version 1 project.
Absolutely, and if you go here, you see you have the service contracts and the data contracts here. So if I go and click on it,
and here's another domain-specific design surface specifically optimized for doing contract and services development for web services, Windows Communications Foundation.
Absolutely. So we started with the business architecture capabilities, services, then an organization may choose to transform those models into Software Factory Modeling Edition, and they can take it from here.
Wow.
So different roles, different skills may participate in the life cycle.
All right, so I asked this question before. Where does InfoPath come into this?
Okay. So InfoPath is a tool where imagine that we have a customer who has business analysis, architecture, subject matter experts, mm-hmm. geographically distributed over different countries. We want to interview them. We want to capture, we want to discover those capabilities from them.
Don't you just send lots of emails? Don't we run our...
emails can contain an attachment to a form for gathering information in a structured fashion.
Oh, there you go. In a structured fashion. You mean we don't all just keep all of our stuff in our email inbox?
So have a look at this.
Other people are more...
So this is an InfoPath.
Wow, you got mad InfoPath skills.
So on the right, there's guidance... of capturing information with samples.
All right, let's go back to that real quick. So looking up top, some forms are designed to help you capture the service-oriented modeling information using familiar interfaces. Service-oriented model, it looks, what is the name of the company, the name of the software. So these are all properties you set in the model itself, right?
Exactly. And they are exactly, they match with the visual model with the Visual Studio. So you can actually capture the same information using forms within an environment the business analysts are familiar with.
Oh, wow. And so the business analysts, they don't even necessarily use the model. They're sitting over setting the values for the heat map and the business value for each, the performance.
Absolutely. Correct. They can create new capabilities here, define their actors, the input, outputs, the budgets, and service levels.
And then that's input then into the SOM, who then is able to read it, transform it into the model.
We'll do a performance XSLT transformation on the InfoPath's version of the XML.
It's actually better than that. With InfoPath and Outlook integration, we can collaborate this information and merge the stuff. Have a look. So, on my Outlook folder, I have SOM forms and for the Fabricum. So, you see, I already sent the template to the business analysts, and I got a filled form from the business analysts. So, from subject, company, name, version, number of capabilities in it. So I can click on, and as you could see, I can see all the information captured. I can review it, I can create a new version, I can tell them to correct some stuff, or I can send it to someone else to approve it. So it is possible to integrate these info platforms with SharePoint services and define a workflow around it.
Wow, so you just went from InfoPath to Windows Workflow and a running workflow, no code.
I'm stretching that a little bit. The key thing here is that we're leveraging the tools around MOS 2007, where you can have an InfoPath library. And so the business subject matter experts are focused on business capabilities, you know, like process and order. And what does it mean to process an order? And what entities are required? Definition of the capability, how important is to the business. And when the subject matter experts in that area have finished and decide, yes, that's our capability, they'll publish it up to a SharePoint site, for example, and then that's just basically the XML that is then imported into SOM to create a graphics fragment, which will show up in the model.
Very cool. All right, so then the big obvious question, this is hotness, how do people get this?
Currently, it's available through our MCS consulting organization. So talk to your Microsoft representative and ask for service-oriented modeling on our worldwide offering site. Also, I wanted to focus that this was built with DSL tools, and check out Channel 9 for lots of good DSL examples on Channel 9. So go forth and have fun.
So Blair and Hatay, thank you all very much. This is a very cool offering.
Pleasure.